All right, Bill Barty, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors, and it may be Super Bowl weekend, but we still want to talk about the Carolina Panthers.
Hey, we're going to learn a little bit about the Carolina Panthers.
On all levels, let's talk about the real critter, the Carolina Panther.
Hey, let's do it. In the western North Carolina mountains and all around.
Sometimes known as a catamount.
Exactly. We're going to learn about that, and we're going to learn about Charlotte stories with the Charlotte story man himself. We're going to invite Scott Jensen on to the Carolina Outdoor Program. Scott, welcome.
Thank you.
So when we talk about Carolina panthers in the wild, we're talking about a subspecies of mountain lions. Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of. Now, technically, if you want to get really technical, the football team, the Carolina Panthers, were named after the Black Panther of South America.
Okay.
But you also, I mean, there's also another side of that technicality where back in the 1700s, 1800s, the cougar, the eastern cougar of the Carolinas and of the Appalachian Mountain Range, many people called it a panther. So that was kind of one of the common names for the animal. Here in Carolinas, obviously it would be the Carolina panther. Well, that's what people would refer to it as and call it as.
I do know this from a Jack Horan trivia question here on the Carolina Outdoor. They used to, in the hills of Appalachia, they would call them painters. And
yep.
That was just because of the dialect or accent.
Painters.
The painters.
Yep. Panthers, painters,
right.
Catamounts, pumas.
Well,
Carolina Cougars got a good ring to it.
Listen,
we got to get down to it because this is in the news. We got the Super Bowl going on. But, Scott, why now? Because this animal has been extinct for a little bit, right? The North Carolina Wildlife Commission just came out and declared it extinct now. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. One of the big reasons, they said, I think the last sighting was in the 30s. Yeah, 1938. Up in Maine was the last official sighting of a eastern cougar. But one of the issues they were saying was that because there's a Florida panther, which is a different subspecies, and because the western cougar roams a lot, there's been a lot of sightings and tracks of cougars in the Carolinas, since 1938. So they wanted to really make sure that, these sightings were, in fact, Florida panthers and western cougars. And they were not, in fact, any eastern cougars at all. So I think that took them a little bit longer to declare it extinct officially than maybe some of the other animals they've declared extinct.
That seems like something kind of difficult to determine.
Yeah. Right. Now, technically, if you want the difference is the Florida panther is a little bit smaller than the eastern cougar, and the western cougar is a little bit bigger than the eastern cougar.
Medium-sized cougars extinct, large and small doing well.
Yep.
Listen, if you're just joining the Carolina Outdoors, the Carolina Panthers are alive and well, despite reports of their demise. They're over there on Mint Street at Bank of America Stadium. They're not playing in the Super Bowl this weekend, but they are alive and well as an organization.
Those are large-sized panthers.
and to your point, Don, earlier, they do have numbers on their backs.
And they all go keep pounding.
Exactly. Scott Jensen, Charlotte Stories, is joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors, and everything, or a lot of things at least, that we know here on the Carolina Outdoors, we have found on Charlotte Stories. But one of them, and we're making Scott be not only a commentator, journalist, and writer, but now we're making him be a scientist of sorts. On January 30th, 2 a.m., specifically in the South Charlotte vicinity, there was a loud boom. Now, some people thought it was aliens. Some people thought it was a sonic boom. Some people thought it was dynamite getting set off. Scott Jensen, what was that super loud boom that occurred in South Charlotte at 2 a.m.?
It was, technically speaking, a positive lightning strike in a temperature inversion.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and that's kind of common sense.
All right, I got the temperature inversion. I understand that. That's like a lake inversion where the layers of water literally swap places. So I assume a temperature inversion is sort of the same thing. Cold air goes to the bottom, warm air goes up, so forth.
Yep.
And so that means it holds in sound, but what is a positive lightning strike?
As opposed to a negative lightning strike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. No, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't fully have the science behind that. I do know that negative lightning strikes are very common. They're, I think, like over 90%, 95% of all lightning you hear for thunderstorms are negative lightning strikes. Positive lightning strikes are extremely rare. And in a temperature inversion, it's even more rare. So that's why the sound everybody heard was just, I mean, I think it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing to have a combination of a positive lightning strike and a temperature inversion.
Did the lightning physically hit something, or was it just kind of an atmospheric thing?
Yeah, it definitely hit the ground. There have not yet been reports on where exactly it struck, but I think based on the research I've done, I think it was over in the Cotswold area somewhere.
Well, and we know some people in Cotswold who were talking it up, and this has really gone viral, and your article on it is all over the place, and you've interviewed and have linked up to Charlotte meteorologist Brad Panovich, who kind of explains all of this and talks about this on the Charlotte Stories website, on the site. But they're 10 times stronger and 10 times longer than a regular lightning strike. And he said it's the equivalent of letting off a firecracker in a storm drain or in an enclosed room. Now, as a person
you've had experience with that, I can tell Bill understands this part of this process.
That's right. But listen, Scott, I have to point out that as interesting as it is, it's even better to look at the comments on the Charlotte Stories .com page involving this story and others. What were some of the comments that you had on there?
Well, I originally did the article using the Reddit comments, but then a number of other people commented under the Charlotte Stories article. The top most liked comment is actually, "That's just what the government wants you to think. The aliens are among us."
Oh, man.
I saw that X-File issue a thing.
Man, I tell you, there you go.
Scott Jensen's joining Charlotte Stories. And, Scott, before we let you go, welcome everyone to the Carolina Outdoors with Don Yeager and Bill Barty here on WBT. Scott, I want to talk to you about, it is Super Bowl Sunday, and we're kind of, I guess, worried or distraught about this because we have one of the third worst football towns in our county of Mecklenburg. Will you tell us about this list that you have on the site and what our third worst town is?
Sure. Well, officially, according to the financial analyst website, WalletHub.com, they actually ranked Davidson, North Carolina, as the third worst football town in America for fans.
Poor Davidson.
Why? What did they do?
Yeah, and how do they rank it?
I actually did quite a bit of research and reached out to Wallet Hub. They didn't respond. so I think it's a combination of Davidson's, from what I gathered, from Davidson's basketball fans, and it kind of seemed to be that the majority of residents of Davidson, you know, were so much into basketball, and they didn't really care about many other things, that football was so far down on their list, that, yeah, combined with everything else.
Just too much going on, I guess.
Yeah, and then being on the lake and everything.
There you go. Distracted by that bikini team again.
It happens every time. Tell us who were top towns and cities that made the list.
Well, I'll let you guys guess.
Oh,
pretty obvious.
Oh, I'm cheating.
Let me guess. People with no lives, living in a very cold environment with nothing to do but watch Sunday afternoon football on TV.
Absolutely.
There you
go. Green Bay, Pittsburgh.
There you go. Boston. Minnesota. Fargo.
And actually, Dallas was number three, surprisingly.
I rest my case.
Wow.
Oh, take that, Dallas.
Where did Charlotte land? Did they land at all on the list?
They're actually number 19.
Oh.
We are number 19.
Hey.
There you go.
So we did pretty good. Scott Jensen's joining us from Charlotte Stories. Hopefully, by Scott joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors, you have a little bit of flavor of what Charlotte Stories is. Scott, is there anything you need to add about Charlotte Stories and the kind of articles that are on there? And maybe tell us what's upcoming on Charlotte Stories.
Well, I'll definitely be doing a lot of Valentine's Day stuff as we just hit February. You know, I'll be doing some restaurant deals. If you guys are looking for some things to get your sweetheart, I'll do some online deals, Groupon, Amazon. So definitely look for savings if you're looking for savings, and check out Charlotte Stories. But yeah, we really focus on kind of what everybody in the city's talking about. We do more in-depth research on kind of the trending stories of the day, and also just doing focusing more on positive stories, because a lot of the TV news, at least, is often mostly about crime and negative stuff. So,
any more word on the government and those aliens?
we'll keep you posted on that. We certainly love doing conspiracy stuff.
All right, Scott, inquiring minds want to know.
Scott Jensen, you're too cool to join us. CharlotteStories.com is where we can find you. Also, your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of those sorts of things. Thanks for joining the Outdoor Guys here on the Carolina Outdoors.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Off he goes. We'll be back with a little bit more of the Carolina Outdoors here on WBT.